We really haven't rehearsed or planned a lot of this, so why don't we just do a quick why you wanted to go.
You would do this.
I wanted to go because I felt this is what I needed to do to kind of get right with God my way.
Well, for me, the first trip I went on, I had a good time, learning experience. I figured, why not try another one? And out.
It's like, I wanted to go too, because everyone else has had a chance. And this was my turn. No, but it was, it's something I've always wanted to do. And it just worked out that I could this time. And being able to physically help someone. We're not always able to do that. Sometimes we can give money or prayer. There's always time for prayer. But to being able to physically give of your time in such a way, it's a unique and wonderful experience. That was my eye went.
And as you know, I've always had a heart for missions since my first mission trip. I was like 12 years old, back with the Methodist Church to Redbird, Kentucky. Then the next year we went to Haiti for 2 weeks, and then I got the mission bug, and this is my sixth MDS trip, I think six in the last 8 years. So I just, I enjoy going to help others who are less fortunate, and I just feel that that's what God wants me to do.
I'm going to give a little talk about, or just explain a little bit about where Far Rockaway was, and about that. it's a sort of last minute, so I don't have any slides about that. But Far Rockaway is part of New York City. And New York City is at the tip of the land right there. But I didn't realize that there were a number of little peninsulas jutting out that were like buffer zones. Pieces of sand between the Atlantic Ocean and the bay. There's only like 2,000 feet between the one and the other. I mean, we'd look down and say, oh, there's water. We'd drive a little bit. Is that the same water? It's like, no, it's not. That's the other water. So it's just a little spit of sand that they've built on. Some of the things that I looked up was that it's called Far Rockaway, but there's a lot of things called Rockaway. There's Near Rockaway, there's Rockaway Boulevard, there's a lot of Rockaways. And they think that it stems from a native word from the American Indians, Native American Indians that lived there, that when the Dutch settlers came and asked what this land was called, and the interpretation has become Rockaway. The bay is called Jamaica Bay, and I was like, we're nowhere near Jamaica. For one thing, it's 30 degrees, although it was warmer there than it was here. So for those of you who didn't go because you were afraid of the cold, we were warmer than you guys. but there again, it was the original Native American word was Y-A-M-E-A, or something like that. And somehow, when the Dutch settlers came, it became Jamaica. So we have Jamaica Bay and Far Rockaway. It's a neat place. It was considered, a little bit of the history, because of the sand and the beaches, it was considered the place to vacation in the 1950s. And a lot of people had little bungalows. And that's where you would go to get out of the heat from the city. You would go to summer on the beach. Well, as time and wars and things happened, New York City developed when they really expanded and started tearing down their slums and rebuilding, to get their city back up there economically. But they were displacing these people who lived in the slums. They didn't know what to do with them, but Far Rockaway was about as far as you could get from New York City, and so they just sort of put them all out there in the bungalows. Well, bungalows don't hold a lot of people, so henceforth, larger houses of multi-families were built, as well as apartment buildings. So when we were there, I counted out of all the buildings that we saw, only six, what I would consider a bungalow, a one-floory, single-family dwelling. Maybe you guys saw more when you were round and about. More what we saw were huge houses that you could tell were three- and four-family dwellings. And right next to them were the very large tenement apartments. Some you could still see damage. It's only been since October 29th, 2012, that Hurricane Sandy hit. Some you could tell were totally brand new, a lot of brand new condos all in one section. They were all, I think we might have a picture of them, square ones with white trim. So it was interesting to see what had been taken care of, what needed to be taken care of, and yet needed to be torn down. One thing I wanted to also point out was the longtime MDSers who had been there for a while said to us that, man, we see the most police cars we have ever seen on a site. They're like everywhere. And they were told that this was a high crime area, and they were a little concerned. But they said, it's amazing. No one has bothered the MDSers. The only out-of-the-ordinary thing that they had was one day one of the women went to go into the women's restroom, and there was a gentleman in there washing his hands. Now, you have to realize that we are in a church parking lot. The church is fenced in with wire fence, but can they close that gate? Oh, okay. So there is a gate. They can close it, but I never saw it closed. So basically anyone can walk on site, and they had porta potties there, and then they had these restrooms. And what they think happened is that he used the porta potty and then washed his hands in the women's restroom. But he was very apologetic and quickly scurried out, and there was no problem. But the longtime MDSers said no problem. Everyone was greeting them with gladness and thankfulness. And I even went to the Family Dollar. You went to the Family Dollar across the street too. Had my little MDS name tag on. I didn't know if that made a difference or not. There's only a white person in the area. And I was kind of, okay. But it was Family Dollar. No problem. Got smiles, and it was great. So that was Far Rockaway. And Jay's going to talk a little bit about the organization MDS for those of you who might not be familiar with it. And then we'll go into our slides.
Yep. For those who don't know what MDS does, basically MDS provides the labor and with their own tools to go in and rebuild and repair homes after these catastrophes around the country. MDS does not pay for any of the materials per se. They normally work in conjunction with local agencies who provide funding for the rebuilding of the actual, you know, money to buy the materials. But then MDS supplies the labor of the volunteers. And I'm just so impressed with MDS. Like I said, this is my sixth trip at various different sites around the country. They're all very so organized and structured. They're all the same, you know, as far as, you know, how the daily schedule is set up, how the tool shed is set up, and the vehicles and everything. So it's a very organized organization, and I recommend anybody who can go to go sometime. It's a blessing.
Us getting ready to go, we drove 4 hours to Williamsport. Do you want to sit down here, Jay? Drove 4 hours to Williamsport to pick up Anna Kent. Anna was with us, worshipped with us while she was attending LECOM in Erie. She's in her second year of residency at a practice there in Williamsport. And we had it pretty well full. It was interesting. So this was our gang heading out there. A quick blur on the way to Union into New York City. On the way out, what do you talk about the way out? I was awake to Williamsport, and then I slept. And on the way home, we packed up and piled in the car. I made a nest in the back, and I woke up a little before Williamsport. So,
okay, yeah, New York City was interesting. Why they would have tire chains on garbage trucks and buses and ambulances on dry pavement just kind of boggled my mind. I suppose that kind of explains why the roads were so pot-holy and running up there, probably because the chains are ripping them up. But it was very strange, and they had snow plows on the front of their garbage trucks. This is Dennis's. He travels lightly. Only one bag there, but it was about 300 pounds. This is a shot of one of the bunk houses. They had four of these set up. They're doubles. Each half has four bunk beds inside. There's the four. That's our half, four bunk beds. So very, very nice accommodations, heated and everything. The only thing you'll see, there's no restroom facility in this portion. So there it is. You have to, in the middle of the night, when you have to go outside to the shower trailer to use the facilities. That was a little inconvenient, but yeah, they had porta potties outside as well.
At night, where we were at, we were only like probably a mile and a half from the airport, a 10-minute drive. And about every 3 minutes, you'd hear the airplanes coming in. All times of the night, so instead of counting the sheep, we all just fell asleep to the airplanes.
I never went inside there.
You got out of washing dishes. The three of us wash dishes. We know what this trailer is. This is the kitchen. You got a chance to sign up for devotions in the morning, and every morning after breakfast we had devotions, and then we got our work for the day, and we headed out. And in the evening, we signed up to wash dishes. And it was very nice. And it looks a lot bigger there than what it really is. You get a couple people in there, and it fills up. But the kitchen is on the right side under this little canopy. The very first door here is the office. We didn't use that door. We used the second door, which was our dining room, living room, gathering area, just simply to help with the flow of cold air, basically, and the snow and everything. They were not connected to the city sewer, so they had to haul all of their wastewater. So it was a definite MDS shower. You turn the water on, you get wet, you turn the water off. You soap up, you turn the water on, you rinse off, turn the water off. So no long hot showers. And poor Anna was just looking so forward to a long hot shower. And when we dropped her off, she was like, "Oh, I'm just going to go in and turn the hot water on. It'll be great." She texted us later that she got into her apartment and her pipes were frozen. In her attempt to be frugal, she had turned the heat down just a hair too much. So no long hot shower that first night back for Anna. So, but we had a lot of fun the first night that we were there. Supper's on yourself or on your own. And we thank the church for taking us out to IHOP. So we had a chance to that. Do you want to talk a little bit about?
All right, this is the dining area. Yeah, but pretty much it wasn't. It looks bigger than what it was, but it was not too bad. And when all of us were there, it actually filled up pretty well. We only had what, two spare seats when everyone was there. And pretty much it was also our living area. This is our tool shed, and we pretty much got all the tools and supplies. He usually had just about everything in there. Versus book. Brisket right next to it, the pots. That's where they kept any extra materials, like any wood or supplies. They kept it in there, so it could be shared if there was a job site that had extra. They put it in there when they were finished. This is the project leader when we were there. Robert. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name.
Unrow. Okay.
Oh yeah. So, how many years? One of the long termers. Yeah, this was the group picture we had. Tried to get it together, but like I said, small room, and trying to get everyone for the group picture was kind of interesting.
Hang on, just stay on that a minute. There was quite a number of long-termers. There was one other group with us that was there, and they were all from, either Pine Grove or Schuylkill Haven, Pennsylvania. And a lot of them were actually related, I think. Earl and Kathy were an older couple. They were probably in their late 70s. And they were really, he was a hoot, you know, so that was a lot of fun. That's right. And one of the youngest ones, Justin, was, I think it was Justin. Yeah, Justin was a grandson. So we had from like age 16 to late 70s was the age group that we had. And it was kind of neat. The gentleman sitting in front, the guy sitting down, was Jason. And he was on our work team. And the other ones were basically split, I think, between two other work sites then. We got to know Jason well. And the Amish gentleman, third row up in the corner, Manny, or Emmanuel Lapp, was our crew leader. So we asked him, we said, we realize, you know, we want to take some pictures, you know, to show our church, and may we take your picture? And he just kind of has this little sly smile on him. And he didn't say no, he didn't say yes. But he let us take his picture. And there were, one of the things about Manny that used to frustrate me a little bit, and I think it's just because I'm a woman, was because I would ask him, "Do you want me to do this or that?" And he would say, "Yes." Like, okay, I'll do this, then I'll do that.
Can you go back to that slide for just a second, Jay? The two in the middle row on the far right of the bust. Over, right there. That gentleman and his son, two seats down, were also carpenters as well. And the when they come over to help us at the one house, they just sped right through it. They knew what they were doing before they even said it. They worked so well together and just sped things right along. This is breakfast time. And needless to say, they make some good breakfast. Oh, that they were. And this is Jay's job, sir. There's Jay's vehicle.
Four-wheel drive.
Yeah, our project was a basement of an elderly lady's house who had a handicapped daughter. And, of course, this basement was totally filled with water after the storm, and even above, about 3 feet above the ground level outside. So they already had this studded up and partially insulated, so we finished insulating, and the lath boards were already on the ceiling, so they wanted, so we drywalled the walls and the ceiling. There's an after picture of the ceiling, can lights. You'll notice the fun that we had cutting drywall to slide over top of some pipes and around other pipes. It was a lot of fun. There's some drywall going up on the walls down there. That is Kathy, Earl's wife.
Justin's grandmother.
Justin's grandmother, yeah. Well, Michael, okay. There's actually this handicapped daughter in this house this is actually a jet tub, so she needs aqua therapy of some sort, so that was down there as well. This is Gordon. He was our crew leader on our site from Manitoba, Canada, eh? I was at this site for the first 2 days, and then they moved us to this site. This tub and shower surround needed to be tiled, and so I learned a new skill this week, how to install 12-inch ceramic tiles around a tub and shower, so that was turning out very well. It's very important to start straight and level and square. That's the back wall of the shower.
There we are. Our very first day, we had to go to Lowe's and get a huge load of sheetrock, and so that was fun to get that loaded, and then even more fun to be brought in because there was like 4 inches of ice underneath 4 inches of snow, and you had to go up a step and then down 3 steps and then down another step into this basement. I'll admit, I felt very unsteady, so I only carried one sheetrock in, and then I just, you know, encouraged everybody else to bring the rest in. But I helped afterwards. There was lots of insulation, of course, in there as well. They had already studded in the walls, and it was our job then to insulate and drywall. So Anna and I went about cutting insulation and putting it up in there all day. The first day, Matthew was on the sheetrock duty. There were two small rooms in this basement. One was a bathroom and one was a laundry room. Normally, this was a daycare center. Normally, MDS does not do daycare centers, businesses, but this lady, it was her only source of income. And so we decided, or MDS decided, that they would take on this project. So there we are actually screwing in drywall screws. Manny would go around and do just a couple to get it up there, and then other people would come behind and do it. And then we went to mudding, and mudded, and mudded, and mudded, and mudded, and mudded. All the time, but it was interesting, and we really let's just say I might have complained when my husband asked me to do some of this stuff, but it came in handy because I did know how to do it. I might not have done it well, but I did it to the very, very best of my ability. Jason also did construction during the wintertime, and so if I wasn't running to Manny asking for questions, I was running to Jason, and Jason was very nice to come out and show us time and time again, this is the way you need to do it. So we did not have to put in a drywall ceiling in this part. It was going to be a drop ceiling, so that we didn't. We got done a lot quickly on this site because we were just doing the walls. We did do the ceiling in the small rooms. They got ceiling put on. And so we just did a whole bunch of that. We had a lot of trash to get rid of every day. And we'd back up to the dumpster and unload it and try to keep things as clean and as organized as possible. They had two boxes down there that we were painting. Because it was a basement, they had two very large sump pumps. I think they said that we were in that basement. We were below sea level. And that, there was water in these sump pumps. They weren't turned on. But because it was a daycare center, they made the boxes to cover up the sump pumps. And Manny mentioned, there we are, there's one, that if we did drain the water out within minutes, it would be full again. So I imagine once everything is done, everything would be, the sump pumps would be running a lot. It was interesting work. It was fun. I got a chance to put the primer on, and we actually had a chance that the first coat of paint got on afterwards. This is Ginny. Chuck was our other longtime MDSer who was with us on our crew, and that's his wife, Ginny. And they joked that it was the first time in all the years they've done MDS that they were actually on the same work site. So, because she had been on one of the other work sites as well. Lots and lots of sanding. I don't know if that means we did good with our mudding or not, but we certainly sanded a whole lot that last day and a half in between each layer of mud. Anna sanded so much that last day. That's what she looked like. It looks grainy, and it's just because there was so much dust in the air that whenever the flash went off, it looked like we were in a snowstorm. But anyway, Chuck and Ginny again. It was, and then the painting. It was coming together. It was starting to look like something, and it was neat. On our site, we did not get to meet the lady, we knew she was there each day. We would leave 4:30, 4:45, and I think she worked elsewhere and then came home later. So, right. This is Dennis's job.
This here, the lady that's standing next to me, her name is Patricia. She had had her kitchen replaced. She had lost everything in her kitchen. The guy that's there on the right was a guy that worked for me the first day that I was there. I was the gopher the first day. This is the kitchen, even as they're starting to put it together. This is just the last stage before they put the stove and countertop and stuff in. This here's what the kitchen looked like before they even started. That there is Jim. He's one of the ones that had gotten this. This kitchen was pretty much done in one day. Here is them getting ready to put the corners on. There on the left, you can see where they're trying to put the countertop onto that there. This here is the after picture. The only thing they couldn't do is they couldn't use the sink because they didn't have the right hookup for the sink, because one of the guys that was on the site got the wrong part. This here is the other counter that was across from everything. It was there, they put it in, and they done a really nice job putting this countertop in. This here is where the site where Jay worked at the first 2 days. This is one of the walls that after it was all put up, it turned out real nice and did a real nice job onto it. Jay and I had worked at this site. This here was where we had to do the bathroom at. They started working downstairs, put all the drywall in and everything, found out the place had plumbing problems. You can see the crack in the drywall where that started as a potential problem. This here is the kitchen. This is one side of the kitchen. The nice doors and everything, it turned out really nice. That was my workbench right there. This here was another site where Jay was working at, where they was kind of, this here was the bathroom of the, was this the jet bath? Here's the little closet. Jay put all the drywall in there and did a great job. I just measured it. This here is a battle of the wits. This is a Dutch Blitz game. And as you can see, it is a very competitive game. This here's them actually playing the game. This here's me playing the game. There was a crew. Was it you that saw the crew?
Yeah. When we had a chance, one day we were waiting for the drywall mud to dry, so we went out driving. But other times, we would drive a little bit around, too, to see the sites. We actually saw not an MDS crew, but another crew roofing, and we just had to take a picture because, yes, you can roof in February. Yes. They had a 9-piece puzzle that some of the long-termers said, you know, no one's ever been able to solve these 9-piece puzzles. They're only 9 pieces. And Anna, we discovered, is extremely competitive. And so after 2.5 hours, they solved that 9-piece puzzle. They were very proud of that. In fact, I think they solved all 3 of them, didn't they?
Yeah, they had all 3.
So that was good. We also played Scrabble. The other lady with the covering and the blue shirt was our cook, Maria. And just as competitive as Anna was at Dutch Blitz, Maria was with Scrabble. I just gave up and played, but you know. But they had a lot of fun. This is one of the snowstorms that we had with the whopping big flakes that came down. I kind of thought it was pretty, but everybody else was a little freaking out. The puddle is like, oh, this is a little puddle. I was like, no, that was actually pretty deep. But anyway, some of the things that we went by as we were able to drive each day. This overpass is actually the A train. If you know any songs about New York City and the A train, it's like the last stop, I think, for the subway, or one of the subways.
Yeah.
So we got a chance to that. The famous garbage truck with chains and snowplow in front. Then if you watch YouTube at all, they've gotten to be a little famous lately with their over-exuberance of plowing snow. But it was neat driving around. We got to see Rockaway Beach one day while we were waiting for our mud to dry. That was kind of neat. We didn't spend a lot of time walking up and down the beach, of course, but we stopped at McDonald's and Manny got his chocolate shakes. And while we enjoyed our shakes, we looked at the beach. So it was one of the bridges that goes across.
That was the bridge. That's the bridge that separates Far Rockaway from Brooklyn. That is Jamaica Bay that Kathy was talking about. This train is the elevated subway train that Kathy was just mentioning. I was talking with a guy the first day that I was there, and he said the subway was completely wiped out during Hurricane Sandy, that there was no way for them to get back and forth to Manhattan which cost $2.50 to ride for a 2-hour ride.
This is just one of the apartment buildings. This is a little nicer one that was in the area that we talked about. They had a number of murals set up. You could tell they were really trying to bring the community back. There is community pride there. Some of the newer condos on the beach, so of course, are great. A PennDOT worker to be someday. They were getting ready to head out. So, all right, where we were. Thank you all. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to add?
The important thing I can say is God was definitely with us on the ride there. Because just as we got on to 80, Jay looked in the mirror and there's this guy coming along. Must have been doing, 70 or so? Somebody's in front of us. And he went to move over. This guy's right next to somebody, moving over. Eventually, some big old cloud of snow. And snow clear, we get closer. It was the guy that was trying to pass the semi. Right into the median. Jay's like, oh, he's going to be in the median eventually. Within 30 seconds, he was in the median.
We have a song we'd like you to sing with us right now. They sang it each day to begin our work day. This will be our closing song. It's to the tune of This Is the Day, and we'd like you all to join with us.
Be with us, Lord. Be with us, Lord, as we work today. As we work today. Help us to share your love.
Here. We commit ourselves to follow Jesus Christ, through whom God has made friends with the world, and in whose name we share the work of reconciliation. We commit ourselves to the way of the cross, living a life of simplicity, self-denial, and prayer. We commit ourselves to love each other, serving the church, and sharing our time, talents, and possessions. We commit ourselves to care for the world, bringing good news to the poor, setting free the oppressed, and proclaiming Jesus as liberator and Lord. In this commitment, we find joy, peace, and new life. Thank you.